What's up, Podcast Nation? This is Drew, a.k.a. Aren't You Funny, bringing you episode 7 of Peace of Mind. We had episode 6 be parts 1 and 2, and actually, we're probably going to be releasing this a week behind just because of parts 1 and 2, but hopefully you all are enjoying the podcast as much as I've been enjoying making it, because honestly, I have had a fantastic time making this, and I look forward to continuing to do so for hopefully a very long time. I know I said that at the end of the last episode as well, but I really can't emphasize enough how much I appreciate the support and encouragement for the podcast and just how awesome things have been because, like I said, I really find meaning in this and I really enjoy it thoroughly. And I feel like just the feedback that I've gotten live has been overwhelmingly positive about the content that we put out there and about how it impacts people's lives, and that's exactly what I wanted to do with this, was be able to have a platform for us to be able to engage with people and to impact lives in a positive way, maybe give people some food for thought or some things to think about, and really just kind of make their life better in whatever way possible. So I've really enjoyed and appreciated that thus far, and I would love if you would continue that support and continue to share it with your friends. You know, tell it to somebody that you think might enjoy it. Tell it to everybody that you think might enjoy it. Shout it out on your social networks. You know, whatever the case may be, just get the podcast out there a little bit and continue to spread the good word, if you will. sorry about that. So today we're going to do something a little bit different because I've been having guests on every episode for the past 2 or 3 episodes, and I'm going to continue to go back to that. But one thing I realized when I was doing this podcast is that there were times where I was like, okay, well, you know, I should put in some of my experience here. I should relate this back to something that I'm doing so that, you know, people know that I know what I'm talking about a little bit and that I have some experience with this stuff and that I'm not just some random dude out here just randomly putting things together or whatever. Which, I mean, that's the case to some extent, but I do have some personal experience with this stuff, and that's part of why this is so meaningful to me. So today I was going to get into that a little bit more, and I was going to do what I could to share some of my experience, much like all of the other people have thus far, and then relate it back to some of the things that we talk about in the podcast. So today you'll get a lot more insight into me, into my life, into my struggles, and honestly some things that are incredibly uncomfortable for me to talk about, but I feel like it's worth the payoff of you all getting something out of it, because ultimately that's what this is about. So my hope is that you'll get at least something out of this and be able to relate to it on some level, and then hopefully you'll be able to change your life for the better, or help somebody else change their life for the better, and we'll all be better for it in the long run. So with that in mind, my usual upfront disclaimer that though I am a mental health therapist by day, it is not my intention for this podcast to become your mental health therapist, and it's not to replace anything that you have going on currently. It's not to say, okay, well, you know, just listen to this podcast and you'll be great and you do everything that I say and your life is going to be perfect. You know, it's not realistic. It's not the case. I'm just a guy who wants to be able to reach you and be able to give you some food for thought and maybe give you some ways to improve your life a little bit at least and give you some more comfort and peace of mind, hence why it's named that. and if you are having some major struggles to the point where you're really thinking about hurting yourself, or you're really thinking about doing some serious harm to other people or whatever, you know, just reach out to somebody that is a support, whether it be the National Suicide Hotline or Googling your city and state and getting some support through them, because ultimately, if you reach out to me, I would love to be a support, but I'm not going to be able to get to you in a timely manner. And ultimately, the kind of support that I'm going to be able to give isn't what I think that you would need at that point. So I think that's just something to keep in mind, is that though I do want to be a source of support, and I do want to be able to encourage you and help you through some tough times, I'm not going to be the ideal or best resource for that. And it's much more appropriate for you to reach out to those outlets instead in that moment. However, if you do want to reach out to me at some point and say like, yo, Drew, I had these struggles, I had these things going on, and I was able to overcome them, and things were great, and life is so much different now, and so on and so forth, and you want me to share that on the podcast, cool. Or if you just want to talk to me about it in general, cool. I would love to hear that. I love hearing success stories. I love hearing all those things. But again, you know, for the podcast and for the purposes of me being completely upfront and transparent with you, I'm just not going to be able to get to it. So with all of that being said, sometimes, much like suicide, sometimes we talk about really tough stuff on the podcast, and sometimes we cover content that's really uncomfortable or really difficult to consume, and you're not going to hurt my feelings at all if you decide that you need to skip an episode, or if you're like, you know what, I'm not sure I can make this. However, I think sometimes being able to push through that difficult content and hear tough stories or tough situations or things that people have overcome or things that may hit home in a big way can help improve your life a little bit, because you know, there is vicarious learning. There's learning through hearing what other people have been through, and there's finding ways to deal with things that you hadn't considered or thought about. It's a very real thing. And so being able to make it through listening to something like that and then, you know, say, okay, well, I'm going to get something out of this, I'm going to take something away from this, can be a big game changer. So I encourage you to try and stick through it. But again, if you can't, totally understand. Not hurting my feelings at all, because I know that it's not for everybody. So with that being said, I'll quit beating around the bush, and I'll get right to it and get into the meat of the podcast. So I guess really we should kind of start from the beginning, not necessarily of my life, but of where things kind of got meaningful and really what even got me into this in the first place. So really where this started for me was in middle school, because that's where a lot of my big struggles started in my life, but it's also where I found meaning and purpose. And I know that that's kind of a freak occurrence, because I know that it's incredibly uncommon for people to kind of find their calling, or however you want to define it, however you want to phrase it. It's incredibly uncommon for people to find that early in their life. But there was just something about having people come to me and say, you know, look, I'm having these struggles or these things are going on, and bringing that to me, and then me being able to kind of talk with people about it and talk through some of this stuff and bring their issues to me, and me being able to provide some meaningful feedback and give them some good things for them to think about or whatever, made a huge difference for me. Because then they'd come back to me and they'd be like, you know what you talked about actually worked. And, you know, you really helped me out with that, or I really appreciate you talking with me about that, or whatever. And, you know, I was always that guy. I was always the guy that people would bring their stuff to, or that they would say, oh, you know, I'm having this trouble with my friend, or this person's being a jerk, or I don't know what to do with my boyfriend, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So they would bring all these things to me, and at first I was kind of like, oh my gosh, where's all this coming from? Like, why are these people even bringing this to me? What is going on with all this? And it turned out to be something that really clicked with me, And I was like, you know, I really like the way this makes me feel, and I really like being able to help people in this way, and being able to be kind of like an outside set of eyes looking in on things, because I've always been a pretty decent problem solver. I mean, I'm not gonna act like I'm perfect by any means, but I've always been a pretty decent problem solver, and I've been able to kind of sort through things and identify main themes and ideas and things pretty quickly. And so with that, I became very effective, and I became really helpful to a lot of my friends. And I realized that I was like, you know, maybe I could do something with this. I never knew that it was going to specifically be therapy or counseling or anything along those lines. But I knew that it was going to be something where I was going to be helping people sort through their problems and being able to kind of walk the journey with them and come through the other side relatively unscathed or less beat up than they could have been. And so with that also came some struggles, and really now that I think about it, I think sometimes I may not have even realized why the struggles were happening, because I never really made the connection of like, yo, I might be taking on a little bit too much here, or I might not be thinking about myself enough, or I might be ignoring some warning signs of like, yo, I should probably step back from this a little bit because this is pushing my limits a little bit too much. So I think that that's I honestly just realized that. Like, I totally did not realize that that might have been part of why I was feeling overwhelmed, but now I do. So I guess the things you learn, right? So if nothing else, I got something out of the podcast today, so I'm happy. but in all seriousness, you know, I think that that's, middle school was one of my best and worst points in my life, because I hit one of the lowest of my lows. Because honestly, you know, if we're just being upfront, middle school is where I considered suicide. And middle school is where I just hit this point of emotional rawness, and I just didn't know how to deal anymore. It was one of those things where it was like, you know, I had a lot of things going for me, and I had a lot of great things. I was always the guy at school that would, you know, smile. I was kind of friends with everybody. Like, it's not like outside looking in that you would have seen it and said, oh, like, you know, he's really hurting, or he's really got all these things going on, or he's really dealing with this huge emotional struggle, or whatever. You know, it wasn't one of those things. It was really kind of a culmination of a lot of different things all piled together that just made for an ugly storm of just crap. And I didn't really realize that or get that until I really hit that point of like, you know, I really just want to kill myself. Like, I just really want to die right now. I don't see any possible way that this could get better. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel here. I feel like I'm doing all of these things, and what I'm doing isn't good enough, and what I'm doing is never gonna be good enough, and there's just no way of me digging out of this. Like, there's just no way to... There's no end. There's no end, so why not just go ahead and end it myself now and just get over with and figure out what's on the other side, you know, essentially. And I'm glad that I didn't now, and I'm glad that I was able to push through that, and I'm glad that I was able to recognize things about my life that were worth holding on to and that were worth keeping and that were really the saviors, in a sense. But again, at the time, that was hard to see. And at the time, it was like, you know, no, there's not anything. There's not going to be anything. So I'm just going to be done. And I'm just not even gonna bother anymore. So I guess kind of backtracking a little bit and talking about my insecurities, because again, this will directly relate to things that I'll be talking about later, so I'm not just throwing this out there so I can be like, oh, you know, poor Drew, let's do a pity party. It's not about that at all. It's about what we can get out of this that's going to be meaningful. But again, you know, I feel like context is everything, and seeing the struggle is everything, and you know, just all of that. I think that the more background information you can get, the better, and the more meaningful it makes the overcoming of the struggle. So, so really, a lot of it started with And again, you know, I know that my struggles will probably seem really insignificant compared to a lot of the other struggles that you've heard thus far. Like, I didn't have any major deaths in the family. I didn't have any major moves. I didn't have any big traumatic events happen. I didn't have an abusive home or an abusive relationship. You know, I didn't have any of that kind of stuff. Really, by all standards, I had things pretty good. I grew up in a thoroughly middle class household. My parents were divorced, but they were divorced so early in my life that I never really knew any different. They divorced when I was like 2, I think, or something. I don't even know. I don't remember, but that was always my norm. And, that was my life. So, knowing life before divorce wasn't really a thing. I haven't even developed memory yet, so I'm sure not going to remember whether or not my parents were together or not and what their relationship was like or whatever. And really, I mean, it sounds like, by all accounts and purposes, it was best that they did. Just because, you know, they're still civil now, and they still talk now, and there's still involvement with the family on both sides and all of that stuff. But, you know, they were just fundamentally different people, and I guess it took them getting married and having me to realize that they were. And really, I'm incredibly thankful for the fact that I've been able to experience two very different households and two different approaches to things, because it's part of what kept me sane. It also contributed to a lot of issues. But it's part of what kept me sane, and it kept me balanced, and it continually made me thankful for each of my parents in their own different ways, and them shaping me who I am today, and shaping a lot of my values and my approach to things and all that good stuff. So, you know, you'll probably... hearing some of this, you'll be like, oh my God, that sounds horrible, or that's, you know, how could he, you know, be thankful for that, or whatever. But really, like, legitimately, now, looking at the end product and looking at where things are currently, I am incredibly thankful for it, and I am glad that I had the experiences, no matter how painful they were at the time. But getting back on track. So essentially, I grew up, you know, I'm a 29-year-old white male. So, and growing up in a middle class family, like, loving parents, no real major struggles in my life, no big fires, no big storms, no big traumatic events, no big deaths in the family. Like, I mean, there were some deaths in the family, but nobody I was really connected to very closely. It was people that passed before I really knew them. But like I said, kind of looping things back to the beginning. So I, in middle school, essentially, and again, you know, my parents and I have talked about this since, but essentially I hit a point, where when I was staying with my dad, I felt like I was just kind of in a no-win situation, and I have two, they're technically my half-sisters, but I have two, what I would consider sisters, because I was there when they were born. Like, we have a great relationship for the most part, except for the time that we missed when I was gone. But overall, we have a good relationship, and essentially, you know, obviously by what I was just saying, I decided to stop the arrangement that we had where I was spending time at both households, and I decided to stay with my mom because I got so fed up and frustrated with feeling like I was in a no-win situation and feeling like I wasn't getting anywhere. Whether that was the reality or not, it didn't really matter. The way that it felt and the feedback that I got at the time just made me feel like I was never good enough, and that nothing I was doing was right, and that even when I made attempts to do things correctly, that they would get twisted or shoved in my face or whatever the case may be. And again, you know, things are much better now, so I'm well past this. I'm well over it at this point. But at the time, that's how it felt. It was like, okay, well, you just did this, and you did what seemed like exactly what they were asking for, and somehow you still screwed things up, and so you still got in trouble, and you still got harped on, and you still lost privileges, you still lost all these different things. Okay, well, they want you to do this. Okay, well, I'll do this, and no, okay, well, that's not good enough. You didn't do it right, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you said that you were going to do this, and you didn't do that, and, you know, it's just... It was this constant situation of that where I felt like I was consistently put in no-win situations, and I was put in scenarios where there was just no possibility for me to do things right or to give myself the opportunity to really redeem myself or make positive changes or do anything. And so I just one day decided that I wasn't going back. And I, like, this wasn't a decision that I made lightly. So, you know, to my sisters or my parents, if you all end up listening to this, like, know that that was probably one of the hardest days of my entire life, because that day that I decided that I was going to do that, I sat... And it makes me tear up a little bit now, even thinking about it. But I sat in my mom's driveway with her after she had picked me up from my parents' house that day. And I cried in the car with her for probably about 2 hours of just talking with her about it and talking with her about everything that was going on and what was going on in my head. And I think something to understand with all of this is that really, my dad's side of the family, and really, I think male culture in general is encouraged not to talk about things. So we don't talk about our feelings. We don't talk about struggles or things that are not going right. We don't touch emotional things because that's not manly. That's not the thing to do. And that's really just a load of crap. Like, it's nothing could be further from the truth. And so I sat in my mom's driveway with her in the car and cried for 2 hours about my frustration with the entire situation and feeling like I couldn't do anything right. Feeling like no matter what I was doing, it wasn't good enough, or I wasn't doing things correctly enough, or whatever. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. Like I said, it's, you know, I'm the firstborn, I'm the first grandchild, and I'm the first person in my generation for my family. So there was a lot of internal pressure on top of a lot of insecurities and a lot of the feedback that I was getting. And it just got to the point where I was like, I really can't do this anymore. And I have an out, so I'm taking it. And so after this conversation with my mom, it was determined that I didn't have to go back until I was ready, or until I made the decision that that's what I wanted to do. And she wasn't going to force me to have contact anymore. She wasn't going to harp on me about it anymore. It was going to be when I'm ready, this will happen. And not until then. Because up until that point, there was a lot of this, like, maybe they just meant this, or maybe this is what was going on, or, you know, maybe this or maybe that. And there was a lot of, like, rationalizing and a lot of, well, you know, you're seeing it this way, but maybe it was really this way, or whatever. And she's like, you know what, I'm not going to keep fighting that, and I'm going to let you come to your own decisions. I'm going to let you find your own way. And, you know, when you're ready, you can make that call yourself, and you can make it happen. So that's what ended up happening. I did that. I made the decision that I was not going back, and I didn't. And I didn't. I had some contact with my dad's side of the family, but not much. And really, I went, not literally, but pretty much 2 years without any kind of contact with them, without any kind of anything. And again, that was one of the hardest decisions that I've ever made. Because going, even when I was frustrated, like, going into that where I had this, you know, pretty solid relationship with my sisters, and I had this solid, you know, relationship with a lot of my friends and a lot of these other things going on, I gave up all of that, and I knew that I was giving that up. And there were times where I got really down about that, and I got really down about having lost out on time with them and on being able to really have that kind of relationship with my sisters and those people around my life. But it was also one of those, like, when I realized that I was truly ready to die, and that I truly wanted to end my life, I was like, something's got to change. Something's got to give here, because I should not be hitting this. I should not be at this point where I'm really considering making this happen. And so once I made that change, I realized that I had to come to peace with the fact that there were going to be some things that were out of my control, and there were going to be some things over which I would have regrets. But that ultimately I had to make the bigger decision to advocate for myself and say, you know what, no, I am worth something, and I deserve better than this. And I deserve to be happy, and I deserve some peace of mind. And so once I was able to make that decision, once I was able to say, you know what, like, this is what it is, I was able to kind of move forward with my life. And there were always these times where I missed that relationship, and I missed the experience that I had, and I missed the closeness that I had. And again, you know, family is a very important thing to me. And so missing out on my sisters growing up, and missing out on a lot of really valuable time with my family sucked. But being able to stay true to myself and being able to be me meant more. And so I made that call. And and that's kind of where everything started, really. Because then I really kind of pursued my life dream and my life goal of doing what I couldn't do with others, which was working out issues and really giving people a forum to vent and yeah, and just being able to sometimes what I describe myself as in my job is a translator for people that don't get to voice their opinion much or that don't get heard much, specifically in teenagers in this scenario, but just kind of in general, being able to say, okay, well, you know, I'm hearing this from this person and this is what I'm seeing, like, why do you think that is? Or what do you think is going on? And so with that, you know, I think it was one of those things where I wish I had had that. And I wish I had had somebody that could say, hey, this is what's going on with this kid. This is the struggle that's happening right now. I need you, you know, if you see this, you can fix it. And there's still a chance. But I, again, you know, I came from a family that was more or less like, you know, yeah, that may be going on, but we don't talk about that. And it wasn't like outright, and of course there was always the like, well, you know, if something's going on, you can talk to me. But it didn't feel real, and it didn't feel like there was really a forum for us to talk about that stuff. And I have very different values and beliefs in certain areas than a lot of my other family members with that. Like, I'm a very hands-on guy. And I'm very, like, physical affection. So, if you know, if you end up taking the love language quiz, which sounds silly, it, like, I feel like there's some real stuff to that, because the quiz itself is silly, but the idea behind it makes a lot of sense. And the, like, okay, well, I like love to be expressed to me through things like physical affection and acts of kindness and service and that kind of stuff. And so I wasn't getting that, and I wasn't getting the opportunity to get the verbal affirmations that I needed. I didn't get much of that. And so, you know, it became incredibly depressing, because I was like, okay, well, like, I don't have the wherewithal right now to be able to say, like, this is what I need. So I'm just going to continue to suffer through this and act like everything's okay when it's not. And we know it's not, but we're just going to continue to act like it. And then eventually I stopped acting like it. And I know that caused some issues, and it raised a lot of questions of, like, well, where's Drew? What's going on with him? What's going on with him, and that kind of stuff. And it, I know that it left him in a bad spot, and really I feel bad about it. But, you know, again, we've made our peace with all of this, so it's not like I'm making these unknown confessions or whatever. It's just, you know, probably a lot of my side wasn't necessarily specifically known, but again, we've moved past this. We have a good relationship now. But we'll get to that when we talk about how to deal with it. So regardless, so, you know, these things were happening and all of these things were going on in my life. And again, you know, I know that for some people this may seem super trivial or like, oh well, you know, I've been through a lot worse. And that's probably true, you have been. But for me, that was my reality at the time. And that was my struggle. And it hit me so hard, that I didn't know how to deal with it. And so I ended up handling it probably not as well as I could have, but I guess, you know, not terribly for a 10, 11-year-old, 12-year-old No, I had to have been, I was somewhere between 12 and 15. But you know, I feel like I handled it a lot better than I could have because I wasn't like raging out on people. I wasn't doing a lot of the other things that I've heard people do, or that I've seen people do. But still probably could have handled it better than I did. And just leaving and basically cutting off contact for a while. Because it essentially took really about, jeez, probably somewhere around 4 or 5 years before I really went back and visited my family after all of that had happened. And God, it was awkward initially. Like, it was painful because, I mean, how do you go back to somebody after all that time and be like, okay, well, I'm here now. Like, we've got this relationship now. Whatever, you know. So, how do you go back to that? But because I knew that that's what I wanted, and because I knew that that's what they wanted, we made it work. And we did what we needed to do to make that happen. And I feel like, again, you know, it's helped shape who I am today, and it's made me realize what is important to me and what I'm willing to fight for, and what I find incredibly valuable. And so kind of transitioning into how I cope, or how I deal with that situation now and how I dealt with it then. So I think one of the things that's really important is knowing yourself, first of all. Because if you don't know yourself, then you won't know what to do and you won't know how to move forward with things. So then you'll turn into this really big mess of like indecision. And that can become incredibly crippling because then you're like, okay, well, what do I do? And how do I handle this? And what do I need to do to make this work, or whatever? So you'll have a lot of that stuff happen. So I had to really sit down and be honest with myself and say, okay, well, this is real for me. And really, when I discovered a lot of this about myself was in college. And I know that that's true for a lot of people, is that college is kind of like the experimental, I'm gonna find myself phase. And really, that's what happened to me. Like that's where I truly discovered things that meant something to me, and stuff that was valuable to me. And once I was able to do that, then I was able to kind of come to peace with some of the decisions I made, and it really made a lot of things click into place for me because I was like, oh, duh, no wonder I made that decision, or no wonder I decided to do these things. It's because this means something to me. And so what I found, you're 16 in college here. No. So this is transitioning forward after I'd already, you know, after I'd already done all of this and I'd moved out, and I moved on to college. That's when I truly found out like what really mattered to me. So I probably should have explained that. So what ended up happening was I found out that family was something that was incredibly valuable and meaningful to me. And when I found that out, that made me realize why I cared so much, why it bothered me so much that I was letting these people down, or that I was making these, according to them, bad decisions, or why when I screwed up that it messed with me so badly, or why letting them down was the worst thing imaginable to me at the time, because I was like, you know, these, I really care about these people and they matter to me, and having that sense of belonging with my family was everything to me. And again, you know, and it still is. Like, And I don't want, when I say family, I don't necessarily just mean biological family. Like, I have people, much of you here in chat right now, like, I would definitely consider several, if not all of you, family, because the way that I see family is a community of people that come together and that have a bond that kind of transcends just normal friendship. Like it's one of those things where you belong, and it's unquestionable that you belong, and it's unquestionable that you're accepted, and that these people see you for you, and they still accept you with all of your flaws. And that is something that is incredibly difficult to find. So, like, when you find that, for me, that is one of the most meaningful things I can imagine, is finding that place where you are accepted. And I think that was something that I sought so blindly that I couldn't imagine life without it, I guess. And so when I'd come to that point where I was like, I've hit rock bottom here. It was, I've done everything that I can to try and earn acceptance, and I still feel like it's not enough. And that was with the people that I held most dear. And so, that there made me realize, like, okay, well, if this isn't what's gonna happen, then what's the point? But ironically, even then, even when I was considering killing myself, even when I was at the point where I was about to make it happen, one of the only things that stayed my hand was that I was going to make a mess for my family, and that they were going to end up having to clean it up, and they were going to have to deal with all of the fallout. Like, that was the only thing that stopped me. So even when I had hit rock bottom, and things had come to a head with my family, I couldn't do it because of my family. So, that's when I, looking back on it now, I'm like, well, duh, dude, you should have realized, like, family's super important to you. That's why this is such a big deal, and that's why you're having all of these struggles and all of these things going on. But at the time, I didn't know that. I didn't know myself then. I was still figuring out who I was. And I mean, to some extent, I still am. I'm constantly finding things out about myself every day. But even just having a general idea of who I was, and what I wanted to be, and what made me who I am, wasn't there. Because, like I said, I was a stupid, very early teenager or preteen. Those aren't things that you think about when you're a preteen. Like, let's be real. You're too busy doing stupid stuff and making dumb decisions. But that's what it was. And so, point being, once I figured out who I was, and once I figured out a lot of the things that were meaningful to me, then I was able to make better decisions. And I was able to say, okay, well, I'm going to end up making this decision, and I'm going to be at peace with it because this fits with my values. This fits with the things that are meaningful to me. And And I know that at the end of the day, that's ultimately going to be the biggest deciding factor for that particular situation. So knowing, okay, this is what matters to me. And I mean, this is going to be different for everybody. Like, you could line up with somebody on six things that matter to you, but you know, there'll still be that seventh that doesn't. And I mean, that's part of what draws people to each other is having similar interests and things in common and whatnot. But ultimately, like, you're still going to have your differences too, which is part of what makes connecting with people so meaningful, because you do learn so much from other people. But anyway, being able to recognize that and say, okay, well, this is what means something to me, this is what's valuable to me, and so I need to take that into account when I make this decision. Or it makes sense now that I say, okay, well, you know, before I make a decision, well, is this going to ruin my family? Is this going to ruin my friendship? Is this going to ruin my relationships with other people? You know, whatever the case may be. Which actually feeds into another thing that was going on with me, is that I, historically speaking, was a big people pleaser. Like, I would go out of my way to do what I could to make other people happy, and sometimes to the detriment of myself. So I would make some absolutely horrific decisions for myself if it meant other people being happy or approving of me. And I realized that, and I'm so thankful that I came to this realization, that ultimately other people's happiness, I realized that other people's happiness is well outside of my control and always will be. There are things that I can do to influence that, but ultimately, like, whether or not somebody's going to be happy or not with me doesn't have a whole lot to do with anything in my direct control. And thanks, everybody. Ultimately, it's not going to be a direct result out of decisions that I can make. So I have to come to terms with the decisions that I'm going to make, because ultimately nobody else is going to be able to walk my life but me. There are people that will be included, and there are people that will be influenced by my life in some form or fashion, hence why I'm doing this. But ultimately, whether or not people are happy isn't in my control. I can only make decisions that are going to impact my direct happiness and influence the happiness of others around me. Again, not control, but influence it. So if I were to go over to somebody and punch them in the face right now, I'm probably not going to make them incredibly happy. Now, does that mean that I can predict how they're going to react to that? Does that mean that I can say, okay, well, I'm really going to piss them off? You know, I may or may not. I don't know. I don't have control over how they react to it. What I have control over is what I do. And so, you know, I think that's something that I have to keep in mind on a daily basis, is that, yes, I do want other people to be happy, and I want to be an influencer or contributor to that. And yeah, I'm definitely not saying you should go hit somebody. That's a horrible decision. But you know, if I can be an influence on somebody being happy, that's fantastic. And that's, again, that's part of why I do this podcast. But I don't have control over it. I can't get inside their head. I can't make them happy as much as I'd love to, and as much as I may try sometimes. I can't make them happy. I can just do things that will contribute to them being happy or unhappy, and go off of that. So when I came to peace with that, and I said, you know, okay, well, while I may want other people to be happy, ultimately I can only directly impact my end of things. That made such a huge difference for me, because then it wasn't, oh, okay, well, I have to break my back trying to make other people happy. Then it was, okay, well, you know, making other people happy is cool, but it's not everything. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. But yeah, so essentially that's that part of things, is that, you know, knowing yourself, knowing your values, and knowing what really matters to you makes a huge difference. Because then once you get those things figured out, then you can kind of say, okay, well, these are the decisions that I need to make. And if I'm not making decisions that line up with those things, then I know that I'm probably not going to be the happiest person on the planet. And that I'm probably going to be causing a lot of stress for myself and a lot of heartache for myself. I'm going to be putting myself through a lot of trouble that I don't need to put myself through. So, and that's, again, that's something that I learned firsthand, because I spent so much time trying to do that. I spent so much time trying to people please and do what I could to influence people to be happier and all that nonsense and things that were just really pretty ridiculous, if I'm being real. That just made absolutely no sense. But it took me a long time to figure that out. So I think another thing that I honestly really struggle with, and this may come as a surprise to some of you, it may not. For those of you that know me personally, it probably won't come as much of a surprise. But coming to terms with the fact that I'm incredibly insecure was really difficult, because I'm not somebody that likes to be wrong very much at all. And I can't say that there are many people that do like to be wrong per se. But I really struggle with that sometimes. And I really struggle with admitting that I'm wrong, or admitting that I'm doing things that are wrong. And again, I think that a lot of that comes from that, like, you know, never good enough kind of thing that I was talking about earlier. And so with that, there are a lot of times that the struggle is real, and that I end up second guessing pretty much all the decisions that I make, and I'm like, you know, am I cut out for this? Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? Like, what's going on with this? And it's just, it turns into this ugly, just nonsense. And so with that, once I realize that, I'm like, okay, well, how do I deal with that? How do I deal with being insecure? How do I deal with this really crippling thing that's like, yo, you know, you're probably not the best at this, or you suck at this, or whatever. And I think a lot of it comes down to realizing what your strengths are and being able to say, okay, well, I may not be the best at this, but I know that I can do X, or I know that I can do whatever. And so then flipping things around and saying, okay, well, while this may be a factor, it's not everything. And instead I can do this and it will make things better. And I don't know what the this is for you all. It'll be different depending on each person. But really focusing on your strengths instead, and saying, okay, well, you know, I don't know. I struggle with good examples on this right now. My brain's a little bit it's swimming a little bit, but essentially being able to say, okay, well, while I may not be a world-class chef, I am good at this, and that's something that's meaningful to me, and whatever, you know. Does that make sense? I hope so. But anyway, focusing on your strengths, and then you'll find that if you use those strengths, then those insecurities and those weaknesses become a lot less important and a lot less meaningful. And instead, you focus on either turning those weaknesses into strengths or using your strengths to such a degree that the weaknesses are less and less present. So I may be incredibly insecure when it comes to technology, or when it comes to mechanical related things, but I feel very competent as a therapist, or as a caring individual, or as whatever. And so because of that, then I will focus on those things that I do well, and then be willing to admit ignorance to the things that I'm not good at. And then taking that a step further and reaching out for support when I need it. So, for instance, with mechanical knowledge, I'm not a mechanic. The extent of my mechanical experience is me, like, doing things for my wife's car through videos I found on YouTube. And my dad and I doing some hardcore, like, engineering kind of stuff that I would never have been able to do on my own, because I recognize that that's not a solid strength for me. That's not something that I have innately, and it's something that I have to work for. And so because of that, I am well aware of that, and I don't pretend like I am an expert. Instead, I say, okay, well, I recognize that I need help for this, so I'm going to reach out and get the help that I need, and I'm going to call a mechanic, or I'm going to call my friend that's very knowledgeable about cars, and use my strengths of communication and listening and my desire for knowledge to then fuel and augment those other things and make up for it. So, you know, maybe I can work out a deal or something, or maybe I can work out some sort of trade, or, you know, some sort of service agreement, or whatever the case may be. You know, I'll do those things and use those strengths that I have to compensate for the weaknesses, and then I don't feel like a failure anymore, because I've done the things that I do well, and I've used those to my advantage. And so, you know, not beating myself up saying, oh, well, I should have been able to do that myself, like saying, okay, well, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do that, so I didn't beat my head against the wall trying to make that happen, and instead I was able to become a negotiator, which is what I do well, where I was able to become, you know, whatever skill or you have. So again, going back to that very basic concept of, well, and basic in the sense of, like, simple to explain but not simple to execute, of knowing yourself and saying, okay, well, these are things that I do well, these are not things that I do well, and how do I find that balance, and how do I use those and turn them into a situation where I can get something out of this. So I think once you're able to do that, then you see that a lot of the times that you would have been frustrated previously, you're not anymore, because you're willing to delegate, or you're willing to say, okay, well, I recognize that this isn't a strength, so I'm not going to beat myself up about it. And instead, I'm going to turn this into a learning experience, or I'm going to turn this into some sort of positive experience for myself, and you know, be willing to recognize my limitations. Now, this doesn't mean, oh, okay, well, I'm just gonna rest on my laurels and never push myself outside my comfort zone, because pushing yourself outside your comfort zone is a huge part of the growth process, and it's part of how we grow as humans. But, you know, it doesn't have to be right in that moment either. I was only willing to push myself outside of my normal limits of, you know, the mechanical knowledge, because I had somebody that had experience in my dad. So my dad may not have had direct experience with replacing an alternator, but he understood car systems in general, was able to kind of explain things to me, and then we were able to find somebody that was very knowledgeable in a mechanic on YouTube that broke down every aspect of the process and was able to explain while we were doing things the way that we were doing, and how things were supposed to work, so that when we actually went to go do it, we were able to do it efficiently. We were able to problem solve when we ran into issues, and we were able to do things that we were normally doing. But again, my strength, or what I consider a strength of enjoying knowledge and enjoying learning things and being willing to say, okay, you know, I know nothing about this, and look up the information, made a huge difference, on top of being willing to experience new things, because that's another, you know, that's another outlet and another value of saying, okay, well, I'm willing to be a little uncomfortable here if it means me being able to expand my skill base or my knowledge base. Not everybody has that. Some people are like, nope, I'm never doing an uncomfortable experience like that. Like, I may be willing to do that with cooking, and I may be able to experiment comfortably with cooking, but when it comes to mechanical crap, there's absolutely no way, you know, or whatever. Everybody's going to be different, but I can only speak from my personal experience when it comes to this, because that's all I have. And again, you know, we'll hear plenty of stories of other people and their different experiences, but yeah, see, that's, I have somebody in chat right now saying, like, you know, yeah, I love learning, but not cooking. So, and that's exactly it. Like, everybody's going to be different. So I think that's the important stuff when it comes to, well, how do I deal with this? You know, I've got this crappy situation, or I've got this thing going on in my life. How do I deal with it? And, how do I turn this into an advantageous situation for me? So I think that's one of the biggest ways that you can do that, is say, okay, well, you know, sure, maybe I'm not the best at this, but I can do this, or this is something that's an interest for me, so I can use this, or whatever. I hope that's making sense. So so I'm trying to think. There was one other thing that I wanted to talk about, and it's now escaping me. So, again, just kind of coming full circle, and I could really break down my entire life and say, okay, well, you know, this is something that's a struggle for me, or this is something I've had happen, or whatever. But really, my entire life story, being able to be confined into an hour long podcast, or however long this one ends up being, just isn't realistic. So I think, not related to specific experiences, but things that I just try to do in general to deal with things, because I think that's things that we've kind of talked about on the podcast previously, but not really to much extent, is a few different things. So one, again, going back to knowing yourself and knowing your values, I really enjoy music. Music is a huge thing for me, and I enjoy a huge variety of music. So I know that one of the things that I need to be able to survive, and one of the things that I need to be able to create kind of an escape or a disconnect for me, is being able to play music, and play music that really, you know, hits me deep, because I care so much about music. So, one of the things that really kind of clicked things into place for me was though I may enjoy a wide variety of music, one of the probably more unexpected things for me was that I found a genre of music, or, well, not really a genre per se, but just a style of music in electronic dance music or EDM, that really hit something in my soul. Like, this is what I've been looking for a while now, and I finally found it. Like, this is something. I'm one of those people, one of those weirdos that will get the cold chills when I hear a good song, or when I hear certain parts, and I just kind of shut my eyes and absorb it, and I really get into it. And so that's my thing. That's something that I do, and I recognize that about myself, and because of that, I'm able to use that to deal with crappy situations. So when I've had a particularly bad day at work, or when I've had a particularly tough day as a dad, or as a partner, or whatever the case may be, you know, whatever's going on, a lot of the times what I'll do is I will lose myself in music. And so then I will turn on some electronic dance music, and I will turn on some various artists, Seven Lions, Above and Beyond, you know, whoever. So there's a lot of those artists that just, that there's something that they do that just clicks with me. And I'm like, yo, you know my struggles, you know my life, you know all of my feels right now, and I don't know how you did this, but you did it, and I appreciate the crap out of you for doing that, because this has made my entire day so much better. And being able to recognize how important music is for me then allowed me to use that. And then that created, so I've got a, you know, I've got a decent commute, between my job and my house, but it's not huge. And so I'll turn on a solid, like, you know, 20, 30 minutes of music, and I will just kind of, like, you know, safely, when I'm sitting at a stoplight or whatever, I will just sit back and let my car stereo just take the music and let it vibrate my soul. And when I do that, I forget about everything. I forget about all the struggles that I've been having. I forget about all the stress. I forget about all the worries that I've been having. I forget about all the things that were bumming me out or depressing me or whatever, and it gives me that escape. And I think this is something that comes up a lot with substance abuse, and we'll get into that in an episode at a later date. But I think the important thing, though, is that I don't get stuck in that escape. So while I could, and by all means, there are plenty of people that do, I don't just escape. So I use that as a temporary escape before going back and addressing what's going on and saying, okay, well, you know, this thing sucks, or this thing in particular is not very cool or not very fun or whatever. So I need to escape from this because I realize that I'm hitting my breaking point. So again, that self-awareness piece of saying, okay, I know when I've hit too much. I know when I've hit a point where it's like, okay, well, I know that I can't deal with this anymore. So I need to do something about this because this is becoming overwhelming. Realizing that I've hit that point, knowing that I then need to hit my escape just for a little bit, just for, you know, the 15, 20 minutes, whatever the case may be, however long it needs to be, hitting that escape point and then going back to it after I've been able to bring myself down and come back to, like, a rational state of mind, and then addressing the issue that's going on. Because I know that if it's not something that's an emergency, if it's not something that's very time sensitive, then I've got time to look at things and say, okay, well, you know, while this sucks, I can't do anything about it right this moment. So I'm going to reset. I'm going to look at this with a much clearer set of mind, and I'm going to just enjoy my music for a little bit and come back to this. And being able to do that for me has meant a world of difference, because then I'm able to give myself the break that I need, because I tend to dive into things sometimes, and I go way head first and I overwhelm myself, because, you know, I can be very selfless sometimes, and I can just jump right into things without much concern for myself or concern about my well-being at all. And that's something that I've had to work on very hard, especially with my job. But because I'm aware of that, and because I know that about myself, I know that I also need to give myself an escape. And so that could be spending time with my family, that could be listening to my music, that could be playing games. Playing games has been a huge escape for me over the years, like massive. And I like, you know, reading books or watching movies or whatever the case may be, but music and games are the two big things for me, where if I don't get to do those and I hit a point where I haven't had them for a while, I can tell a difference, because it gets to the point where I'm like, okay, like I know that I'm getting irrationally mad over these little things, and I don't know what's going on with this, and I don't like this because this isn't me. So I'm going to just, I'm going to chill, I'm going to reset, and then I'm going to come back to this. But again, making sure that I'm not getting lost in the escape, because getting lost in the escape gets me nowhere. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't say, okay, well, you know, this is going to be your ultimate fix. Like, it doesn't do any of that. If you get stuck in your escape, that creates more problems. But if you use your escape as it's intended, as a temporary thing, world of difference. So again, tying it back into your values and knowing what matters to you, big thing, because ultimately that's what's gonna let you know how you can get by and what things are gonna be meaningful for you. Because yeah, I mean, just any distraction can work, and that's all well and good, but it's, for it to be a true escape, it's got to be something meaningful. So for me, I enjoy, you know, like I said, I enjoy games, I enjoy music. I also enjoy laughing. and this is something that my best friend and I share, and it'll be our guilty little, our guilty pleasure, if you will. So podcast, feel very privileged that you're privy to this. But my friend and I, that I've known since I was like 3, we really enjoy Ace Ventura in particular, and so that was a big one. So and we're really big into like quoting movies in general. We're those guys that'll make random movie references, and we'll be those guys that make the awkward movie reference and do not care if people get it, because ultimately it's still funny to us, and if we end up making that awkward moment, then we laugh about it later. Because it was totally worth it. It was worth it just for us, because we were able to make each other laugh, even if it was on the inside. But so we would reference the entire Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls and Pet Detective. We would reference those entire movies randomly. Or we would reference like Adam Sandler movies like Waterboy or Happy Gilmore or whatever, because they would make us laugh. And that was something that was meaningful for us. So it wasn't just like a, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to do this random thing that doesn't really matter to me, because then ultimately it wouldn't have accomplished the goal. It wouldn't have been an escape. It would have just been like a, okay, well, that was a distraction, whatever. Distractions are good, but if you can give yourself an escape, that's a difference maker. So then when we were able to give ourselves that escape, we would get away from whatever problems we were having at the time, and we would be able to just kind of be again. And when we were able to do that, then, you know, we had the laughs, we had the fun, we did whatever, but we never just left it at that. It was always, okay, well, while that was all well and good, now we got to get back to business, now we got to go back here and address this because it's not going anywhere. Exactly. So I think that's an important thing to keep in mind is that a lot of people talk about, well, you know, I played games for 20 minutes or whatever, but it just it didn't do anything for me. It's like, well, you know, is that something that's really meaningful to you, or were you just doing that just because your friend told you that that's what you needed to do? Like, ultimately, knowing, and again, this is something that I think is incredibly undervalued but really important, is that you are the expert on you. You are the one that knows what you need. You are the one that knows what you want. But there's nothing wrong with getting validation. There's nothing wrong with having somebody come to you and say, yes, this makes sense, or no, it doesn't, or whatever, or am I crazy for feeling this? Like, there's nothing wrong with looking for that, but ultimately, you already know what you need. You already know the things that you value. You already know all of the things that are meaningful for you. Sometimes it just takes other people to help remind us that that's the case. But I think that that's something to really keep in mind, because a lot of the times we end up looking to other people and we end up taking their advice over our own when we know that it's not the truth, when we know that there's no way that that's the reality. And then we just end up causing ourselves a lot of heartache, when really, if we just cut to the chase from the beginning and been real with ourselves, we'd realize, like, no, that wasn't gonna work out. So yeah, so that's, I know that this is probably like information overload. This may be an episode to come back to like several times and be like, well, what was he talking about again? But hopefully this is all kind of tying together and making some sense and clicking with you. I know that I've gotten some feedback in chat that things are clicking, but hopefully to you as a podcast listener, you're like, yo, okay, this, you know, this kind of makes sense. So with that being said, I think that I'm going to start to kind of wrap things up a little bit, and because I don't want to information overload, but I did want to be able to, you know, first of all, kind of let you all get to know me a little bit, because I know sometimes I can turn into like talk show host instead of dude doing the podcast. In a sense, and I want you all to know that I'm a person too, and that I've, you know, while I may not have had some of the major struggles that some of the other people that are featured in the podcast have had, I've definitely been through my own share of adversity, and I feel like I've come out all right for the most part. You know, obviously I've still got my own faults and flaws and things that I'm working on and things that I'm constantly trying to improve about myself. And you know, really, I think it just kind of comes down to being real with myself and being willing to get feedback from people that I care about and whose opinions I value. And ultimately having people in my life that can kind of keep me in check a little bit. Because I think that's something that's overlooked a lot of the time, and it's like, okay, well, you know, whatever, they don't know anything about me. It's like, well, that's not necessarily true. They know something about you, they just may not know the whole story. Yeah. With all that being said, chat, do you all feel like there's anything in particular that I should have covered, or anything that you all feel like I should have spoken more about, or anything that I said, you know, I started to talk about and then you're like, whoa, where'd he go? You know, why didn't he continue to talk about that? Anything along those lines? So while I'm waiting for any responses that we might get, I want to thank you all so much for continuing to listen to the podcast, continuing to support it. If this episode or any previous episode has touched your life in some way, positive or negative, or started a discussion, or given you some food for thought or whatever, like, please throw it out there, get the word out, because the more people we reach, I feel like the better we can make the world, and you know, the more that we can improve other people's lives that we care about, or whatever. Again, that's why I do this, because I truly believe in that, and I want that to become a reality. So the more that we can reach other people, the better that we can do with that. But thank you for even listening to a second of this and continuing to throw it out there and give me feedback and all of those things. If you ever want to reach out to me in any form or fashion and be a guest on here or share your struggle or give me feedback, and you know, even if it's just a, yo, this podcast sucks and you should stop it immediately and this is why, then I welcome that feedback, because again, I want to make this the best possible podcast possible. I want this to be a go-to for people. I want people to feel like they can listen to this and say, you know, yo, I can relate to this on a cellular level. Like, this person gets me. If I have one person that feels that way, I've accomplished my goal. Like, things are good. I appreciate that so much, Piggles. Yeah, so if you do decide that you want to reach out to me in some form or fashion, you can find me at twitch.tv/aren'tyoufunny. So that's ARENTUFUNNY. All one word, no spaces, no capitalizations, no crazy stuff. If you want to be able to find me on Twitter, it's at aren'tyoufunny. If you want to be able to find me on Instagram, it's at aren'tyoufunnyTV, as in like television. So it's at aren'tyoufunnyTV. If you want to shoot me an email, because that's more of your jam, feel free to do so at aren'tyoufunnyTV@gmail.com. Again, if you want to share, if you want to be a guest, if you want to provide me feedback, you know, whatever the case may be, please feel free to do so, because I welcome it. So, I guess with all of that being said, again, thank you so much for listening and being a part of this and continuing to grow with the podcast. And I hope that it's brought you at least a little bit of peace of mind. Peace out, everybody.